She learns early to stay quiet. The cramps come every month, sharp and heavy, but everyone says it is normal. Her mother says it, doctors say it, friends say it. Pain becomes background noise. Years pass. The bleeding gets worse. The fatigue follows her to work, to school, into her bed. She plans her life around bathrooms and heat pads. She misses days and pretends she is fine. She doubts herself more than the pain. When she finally asks for help, she is told to relax, to lose weight, to try again later. The body keeps hurting, but the system does not hear it. Fibroids, endometriosis, polycystic ovary syndrome, these words come late after years of dismissal, after damage is done. This is not just a medical story. This is about silence, about belief, about what happens when women are taught that suffering is normal and asking for relief is weakness. The question is not why the body hurts. The question is why no one listened when it started. Chapter 1, Setup and Stakes. She learns early that pain is expected. The first cramps come before she understands her own body. They arrive with force, tight, deep, enough to stop her mid-step. She bends forward, breath shortens. Someone tells her this is normal. At school, girls whisper about periods like secrets. Blood is embarrassment. Pain is proof you are becoming a woman. Teachers hand out pads quietly. Boys laugh when they find one on the floor. No one asks how bad it hurts. At home, the message is the same. Women before her survived it, so will she. Pain becomes inheritance. The bleeding is heavy. Some days she cannot stand without feeling dizzy. She learns where every bathroom is. She keeps extra clothes in her bag. She counts days by how much blood she loses, not by the calendar. When she complains, the response is consistent. It is just your cycle. You have a low pain tolerance. Take something and rest. This is where the story begins, not in a hospital, not in a diagnosis. It begins in normalization. Fibroids, endometriosis, polycystic ovary syndrome, these conditions exist quietly in millions of bodies. They grow, they inflame, they disrupt hormones, they twist organs out of place. But for many women, the names come years later, sometimes decades later. Before the names, there is confusion. Her body does things she cannot predict. Bleeding lasts longer than it should. Pain does not follow a schedule. Some months are unbearable. Some months feel like a warning. She never knows which version of herself she will wake up as. She begins to doubt her own experience. Doctor's appointments become short conversations. She describes pain. The doctor looks at the clock. She is asked about stress, about weight, about whether she plans to have children one day. The pain itself feels secondary. Tests come back normal or unclear or incomplete. She is told nothing is wrong. This is not one bad doctor. This is a pattern. Pain in women is often treated as exaggeration, especially pain linked to menstruation, especially pain in women of color, especially pain that cannot be seen on a quick scan. She is given birth control, then a stronger dose, then told to come back if it gets worse. It is already worse. She just does not know how to prove it. At work, she hides it. She smiles through meetings. She pretends she slept well. She uses sick days sparingly because she might need them later. She learns how to function while hurting. Her relationships adjust around the pain. Plans are canceled last minute. Intimacy becomes complicated. Some partners are patient, some are not. She learns to apologize for a body she cannot control. Shame grows quietly. She feels ashamed of bleeding through clothes, ashamed of needing rest, ashamed of saying no, ashamed of not matching the image of strength expected of her. In many cultures, women are expected to endure, to carry pain without complaint, to keep households running, to produce children, to stay composed. Pain challenges that image, so it is minimized. The betrayal begins here. Not because the body fails, but because the body speaks, and no one translates. Fibroids can grow slowly, fed by hormones. They press against organs. They cause heavy bleeding and pain. Endometriosis can spread tissue where it does not belong. It inflames. It scars. Polycystic ovary syndrome disrupts cycles, hormones, and metabolism. Each condition is different. Each woman experiences it differently. But the common thread is delay. Years pass between first symptoms and diagnosis. During those years, damage accumulates, pain becomes chronic, fertility may be affected, mental health takes a hit, trust in medicine erodes. She begins to feel betrayed by her own body because no one taught her another explanation. When pain becomes routine, suffering becomes invisible. She hears other women talk, quietly, in bathrooms, in waiting rooms, on phone calls late at night. The stories sound familiar, heavy bleeding, dismissive doctors, years without answers. This is not coincidence. Medical research has historically underfunded conditions that primarily affect women. Pain that cannot be measured easily is often dismissed. Women are more likely to be told their pain is psychological, or hormonal, or stress-related. That dismissal shapes behavior. She waits longer before seeking help. She second-guesses herself. She downplays symptoms. She fears being labeled dramatic. She internalizes the idea that she is the problem. This is the first real cost: self-doubt. The second cost is time. Time lost to unmanaged pain, time lost at work, time lost in relationships, time lost believing this is just how life is supposed to feel. The body keeps sending signals: sharp cramps, exhaustion, irregular cycles, pain during sex, pain that does not respond to medication. Each signal is data, but the system does not collect it properly. Instead, she adapts. She learns which days to avoid travel, which clothes hide bleeding best, which excuses sound acceptable. She builds a life around limitation. This is survival, not healing. And beneath it all, a quiet fear grows. Something is wrong, but she cannot name it, and without a name, there is no legitimacy. The betrayal deepens when she realizes how long she has been living like this, how much pain she has normalized, how little she was taught to question it. This chapter is not about solutions, it is about stakes. The stake is belief. What happens when pain is treated as ordinary? When women are trained to endure instead of investigate? When silence becomes tradition? Because once pain is normalized, it becomes invisible. And once it is invisible, it can be ignored indefinitely. The body is speaking loudly, persistently. The question is not whether the pain is real. The question is who decides when a woman's pain finally counts. Chapter 2, Escalation and Reversal. Living with pain changes how time feels. Days are no longer measured by hours, but by tolerance. How long can she stand? How long before the cramps peak? How much energy she has before fatigue takes over? Pain becomes a constant calculation running in the background of her life. She wakes up already tired. Sleep does not restore her, it only pauses the discomfort. Some mornings, her lower abdomen feels heavy, swollen, unfamiliar. Other days, pain radiates down her legs or into her back. She learns to function through it because stopping is not an option. Work does not slow down for pain. She sits at her desk trying to concentrate while pressure builds inside her body. Meetings stretch longer than her tolerance. She grips her chair. She times bathroom breaks carefully. She keeps medication in her bag, but knows it only dulls the edge. Calling out sick feels risky. Too many absences raise questions. She worries about being seen as unreliable. She worries about losing income. So she shows up anyway. This is where the cost becomes visible. Chronic pain reshapes ambition. It forces compromise. She turns down opportunities that demand travel or long hours. She hesitates to take promotions that require constant presence. She chooses stability over growth because her body cannot guarantee consistency. The pain follows her home. Relationships bend under the weight of unpredictability. Plans are tentative. Dinners are canceled. Intimacy becomes complicated. Pain during sex is hard to explain without shame. Some partners listen. Some grow distant. Some leave. She learns to minimize again, to say she is just tired, to say it will pass. She avoids conversations that force her to explain something she does not fully understand herself. Family adds another layer. Questions about children arrive early and often. When are you going to start a family? You are not getting any younger. Fertility becomes expectation before it becomes choice. The pain complicates those conversations. Heavy bleeding, irregular cycles, hormonal changes. Each symptom becomes a quiet worry. She wonders what this means for her future, but she is afraid to ask directly, afraid of answers she is not ready to hear. In many cultures, motherhood is treated as proof of womanhood. Pain that threatens fertility is not just physical. It is identity shaking. This is where shame tightens its grip. She feels ashamed of her body for not behaving the way it is supposed to, ashamed of weight changes she cannot control, ashamed of hair growth or acne linked to hormonal imbalance, ashamed of bleeding that feels excessive, ashamed of needing help. She learns to keep these things private. Silence becomes protection. The medical system remains a maze. Appointments blur together. Different doctors, different explanations. She repeats her story over and over. Each time, she hopes this will be the one who listens. Often it is not. She is told to manage stress, to exercise more, to lose weight, to give it time. She is offered temporary fixes without deeper investigation. She is told symptoms fluctuate, that bodies are different, that pain is subjective. Objectively, her life is shrinking. Medical costs accumulate, copays, tests, medications, missed work. She weighs whether another appointment is worth the money and emotional energy. Sometimes she decides it is not. Access becomes a dividing line. Specialists are expensive. Appointments take months. Insurance coverage is inconsistent. For women without resources, the delay is longer. The pain lasts unchecked. The damage continues quietly. This is not just a health issue, it is an economic one. Chronic pain affects productivity, it affects income, it affects stability. Women with unmanaged reproductive health conditions are more likely to face financial strain. The system does not account for this loss. It absorbs it silently. The turning point does not come all at once. It comes in fragments. A conversation overheard in a waiting room, a story shared online, a friend finally saying the word fibroids out loud, another woman describing the same symptoms she has been living with for years. Recognition is jarring. She realizes she is not alone, and more unsettling, she realizes this pattern is common. This is the reversal. The problem is not that her body is weak. The problem is that the system surrounding her body is built to doubt it. Medical training has long centered male bodies as the default. Research funding favors conditions that are easier to quantify. Women's pain, especially reproductive pain, is treated as expected noise. Cultural expectations reinforce this dismissal. Women are praised for endurance, for sacrifice, for keeping things together. Complaining is framed as failure. Together, these forces create silence. She starts to see her experience differently. The years of dismissal were not isolated incidents. They were part of a larger structure, one that teaches women to question themselves before questioning authority. Anger enters the story here, controlled, earned, not loud, not explosive, but steady. She thinks about how long she waited to seek help, how often she minimized her symptoms, how many days she lost, believing this was just part of being a woman. The betrayal shifts direction. It is no longer just the body that feels unreliable. It is the system that failed to intervene. This realization brings clarity and grief at the same time. Clarity because she finally understands the pattern. Grief because the cost of that delay cannot be undone. Pain that was ignored has consequences. Chronic inflammation leaves scars. Hormonal imbalance affects the entire body. Emotional exhaustion accumulates. And still many women never receive a diagnosis at all. They live in the in-between, not sick enough to be taken seriously, not healthy enough to live fully. This is the escalation. The story is no longer about personal tolerance, it is about structural neglect. When suffering is prolonged by disbelief, damage multiplies. It moves from the body into the mind, from the individual into the community, from one generation to the next. The body did not fail her first. The system did. Chapter 3. Consequences and legacy. By the time many women receive answers, the damage is no longer theoretical. Pain that was once occasional becomes permanent. Inflammation that was ignored leaves scars. Cycles that were dismissed disrupt entire systems in the body. The diagnosis, when it comes, does not arrive as relief. It arrives heavy, late, carrying years behind it. For some women, the delay changes everything. Fertility is no longer a question of choice. It becomes medical reality. Some learn they cannot conceive naturally. Some learn pregnancy will carry higher risk. Some learn their organs have been altered by years of unchecked growth or inflammation. These are not abstract outcomes. They reshape identity. Womanhood has been quietly tied to reproduction for generations. When that expectation is threatened, the impact is not just physical. It reaches into self-worth, into relationships, into how a woman sees her place in the world. Even women who never wanted children feel the weight of that loss. The choice was taken before it could be fully owned. Chronic pain does not end with diagnosis. It continues to shape daily life. Fatigue lingers. Flare-ups return without warning. Some treatments help, some do not. The body remains unpredictable. Emotionally, exhaustion runs deep. Years of dismissal teach women to distrust their own instincts. Even after being proven right, doubt remains. She wonders if she is exaggerating, if she should push through, if asking for help is still asking too much. This internal conflict becomes its own burden. Relationships carry the residue of that journey. Partners who stayed learned patience under pressure. Partners who left often did not understand the cost of silence. Family members may express regret or denial, or disbelief that it was ever that serious. Support arrives unevenly. Some women find community late, others never do. Many carry their experience quietly, unsure how to talk about something that was never normalized in the first place. This is how silence survives. Mothers pass down coping instead of clarity. Daughters are taught endurance, not language. Pain is framed as something to manage, not something to investigate. The cycle continues. In communities where access to care is limited, the consequences multiply. Delayed diagnosis is more common. Severe outcomes are more likely. Economic strain deepens. Mental health suffers. This is not accidental. Healthcare systems reflect values. When women's pain is treated as background noise, the system signals what matters. When research funding overlooks reproductive conditions, it sends a message about priority. When dismissal becomes routine, harm becomes normalized. The legacy is structural. Lost productivity is rarely counted. Emotional labor is never measured. The cost of suffering carried privately does not appear on balance sheets or policy reports. But it shows up everywhere else. It shows up in missed opportunities, in strained marriages, in women leaving the workforce, in young girls learning early not to complain. Naming the conditions matters. Fibroids, endometriosis, polycystic ovary syndrome. Saying the words breaks isolation. It turns private pain into shared reality. It reframes suffering as something that happened, not something imagined. For many women, naming is the first act of resistance. Not loud resistance, not confrontational, but steady. It is telling a doctor the full truth and insisting it be recorded. It is correcting misinformation in quiet conversations. It is refusing to laugh off pain as normal when it is not. These acts do not erase damage, but they interrupt silence. Community begins to shift when stories are shared without apology, when women recognize patterns in each other's experiences, when pain is validated instead of minimized. This does not require medical expertise. It requires belief. Belief is the foundation that was missing. Belief that women know their bodies. Belief that pain has meaning. Belief that endurance should not be the baseline expectation. The consequences of disbelief stretch forward. Children absorb what they see. Daughters watch mothers suffer quietly. Sons learn what pain is allowed to look like. These lessons shape future interactions with healthcare, with partners, with authority. Silence is taught, and silence teaches harm. Breaking it changes trajectory, not instantly, not completely, but measurably. When women are believed earlier, damage is reduced. When pain is investigated instead of dismissed, outcomes improve. When systems listen, trust can begin to rebuild. This is not about perfection. It is about accountability. The body was never the enemy. It was signaling distress. The failure came from ignoring those signals long enough for consequences to settle in. The legacy of this neglect is written into bodies, families, and communities, and it does not end with one woman. It moves through generations, through healthcare practices, through cultural expectations that praise endurance while punishing vulnerability. Until that pattern is named, it repeats. This episode does not offer instructions. It offers clarity. Pain that is ignored does not disappear. It compounds. When a body is betrayed and a system refuses to listen, the damage does not stay contained. It spreads forward.